even to those who are not Christians. Now, they don't know that, so they'll deal with it through the flesh. They'll deal with it through their own emotions, feelings, intellect, so on and so forth. But we as Christians understand there is only one way of dealing with everything. Amen? And that has to be spiritually. That's why he says it's not against flesh and blood. In fact, if you turn the bulletins over, and looking at the first passage up top, where it says the source of all our struggles is spiritual, so we must deal with it spiritually. What Satan would like us to do is make us deal with it any other way. You deal with it any other way, he already won. Okay? That's the whole idea. It may seem like you've gained access or made progress, but if you don't deal with it spiritually, you're on the wrong track. It says in Ephesians 6:10-12, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Stop there for a minute. So we have to understand my strength can't come from me. So when I name all those other things, it's usually based on me. If it's intelligence, it's based on me. Physically, it's based on me. And we'll deal with it or not based on us. And that's where it usually gets us. But he told us to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So that's me totally depending on him. What we tend to do wrong is we tend to only pick out using the Lord when it benefits us, and then we say we'll take it from there. It's not what he says. When I'm strong in him, I'm 100% depending on him. That's why he tells you in verse 11 to put on the full armor of God, so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. See, I need his strength, his armor, in order to deal with these spiritual things. Once again, if I don't have these on, I'm trying to deal with it. I may even feel like I'm dealing with it, while in reality, I'm losing. I need what he offers in order to deal with it. And then he tells us why. He says in verse 12, for our struggle is not, everybody say not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil and heavenly realms. Now, they say very little in the Bible about all of those spiritual differences there. Okay, these are all spiritual, and how they deal with them when it goes against the rulers. These are the powers that exist, against the authorities. These are the ones that are in charge in the spiritual realm, against the powers of this dark world, those who are existing down here in this world. And then it says against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We're talking about in other dimensions. Way over our heads, okay? And you have people who have written books on it, even though the Bible gives us very little on it. Why do you think the Bible gives us very little on it? Because I don't need to know it. I just need to recognize what I'm going against. And he says, this is why I need God to deal with it. Does that make sense? See, we think, well, if I figure out and I understand what it is, then I'll know how to deal with it. And that's what God's saying, but you can't. You understand, it's way beyond something we could deal with. Have you ever talked to somebody that, knew a topic that was way over your head? When they start talking to you, you start looking at them like, okay, you can stop now. I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know where you're going. And this is exactly what would happen. If he did truly explain this to us, it's way beyond us. Almost every book I've read on this are people that add to it and say they got some special message on it, but it's not biblical. And that's where you got to be careful. Now, why am I throwing it out there? Because these do exist, but his answer to it, and we're going to see it in the sermon on spiritual preparedness, his answer to it is trusting in him, not us making up some newfangled way of dealing with it, okay? So he's letting you know it comes from different ways, comes in different areas, but it's spiritual. And that's why our struggles or what we're dealing with comes from the spiritual realm. Now, here's why it's hard for us to deal with things spiritually. The reason it's hard for us to know the problem is spiritual is because we keep being worldly. Keyword, being. Okay, now, well, look what he says here. 1 Corinthians 3:1-3. 1 Corinthians 3:1-3. He says, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly. Now, watch what he says here. Mere infants in Christ. A long time I didn't catch what he did here. He says, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. He's saying being a babe or an infant in Christ, that's somebody who's just saved, is equal to somebody being worldly. This is why spiritual growth or spiritual maturity is so important. The other part that's crazy, especially today, most Christians are still babes. and have no intention on growing, which means they're still worldly. Does that make sense? What Paul is inspired to say is, I can't even go into the spiritual part that the Bible is telling you because you're not looking at it spiritually. You'll look at me the same way that person who said something going over your head, because you're still looking at it intellectually, ignorantly, culturally, or emotionally. You're looking at using one of those things in which you're gazing or leaning upon those instead of spiritually, spiritually understanding it, spiritually doing. He says, you're mere infants or worldly. He says, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? Now, understanding this is so important to us on how we deal with this spiritual stuff in our world. So what I did, and if you noticed last week, we were talking about the heart, and we got a little chart at the end, which was kind of helpful. I've taken some real world situations, and I'm going to show you how not to deal with it, and that's through the flesh, and how we should be dealing with it. Okay? Now, of course, some of these are more complex and they have more information, but it should give you the idea of what the difference is. Amen? Okay, so I just want to make sure you understand that. So here are some differences between dealing with our struggles with flesh and blood versus spiritually. Okay, when he says it's not against flesh and blood, if you don't know this, you'll deal with it using flesh and blood, and you'll fail. Look at one, dealing with a combative, problematic troublemaker. Okay, so I think we may be at work, could be in your family, could be a friend, could be somebody you just met, however it is, how do you deal with it? Now, person who deals with it through flesh and blood, this may be one of the ways they'll handle it. I make sure I protect me. If they do something to me, I will retaliate. I make sure they know not to mess with me. I know y'all want to say amen. I know y'all look at that. Yep, amen, pastor. They won't mess with me next time. Let them talk to me that way again, right? And this is Christians acting this way, and we should never, ever act that way. But this is flesh and blood. You'll see Christians saying, wait, what'd you say to me? You know, we go into that mode, and we're ready to go. Say it again. And we're ready to react, aren't we? And but we're still Christians, right? And we deal with it using the flesh. But here's how we're supposed to deal with it. I will not repay the wrong they do to me. So I'm acknowledging they're doing wrong, but I will not react to that wrong that they do to me. I always look to God's kindness, looking for opportunities to minister in word or action. And I put scripture for everything I put here, so you just don't think I'll give you some happy-go-lucky answer. Say, pastor, we're not doing that. Okay, so you get the chance to see this. So in other words, I will not react to their reaction. Now, if I'm not spiritual, this will be impossible. This would definitely, I'm going to react. They said something that hurt my feeling and made me angry. I can't just let them talk to me that way. I must react. Even though Romans 12, 17, and that's just one selection, tells us, no, that's not how you're supposed to deal with it. Right? Remember he said, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. He's talking about any retaliation is vengeance. Y'all get that? Any retaliation. So when I react to you based on what you did to me, that's vengeance. And I took something sacred away from God. Did y'all get that? Okay. And then always showing God's kindness. Remember it says if your enemy, give him something, give him a cold drink, give him something to drink in there. You know what I mean? In other words, I'd rather still respond out of God's kindness to minister God, looking for ways to minister. Not for, I can't believe they did that to me. How can I retaliate? That's spiritual. You see how that works? All right. Once again, we don't like this if you're not spiritual. Okay, you won't like it. You won't like it also if you are spiritual, but you know you don't live by what you like. You live by what he says. That's going to be the difference. Okay, let's look at another one. Dealing with depression. It's a common one, especially nowadays. Dealing with it through flesh and blood, this overwhelming feeling rules. I depend on medications to maintain it. It dictates how I am in all situations. It affects all relationships, including my relationship with God. It's been one thing, especially nowadays, that's really overwhelmed and taken us over, and it's become the answer in a lot of our lives, especially with our relationship with God. We've allowed it to totally define us. And I know, and it's a hard thing, because when you talk about it, people are very sensitive about it, because they're like, you don't understand, Pastor. No, I do understand. And it's something that he shows us the spiritual way of dealing. Look what it says here. I always, everybody say always, keep my mind on Christ for access to perfect peace. He says, I keep my heart from being troubled by trusting in God. I make sure I'm getting godly counsel. While I may take my medication, I make my life purpose seeking God's kingdom and righteousness while losing myself, my life for Christ. Did y'all catch all that? Okay, once again, that's just a little bit of how to deal with it. See, usually the problem we struggle with things like depression and stress and all those other emotional things we go through is because we're looking at self. How can I make me feel better based on me? How can I get me to where I want me to be? Instead of completely focusing on Christ. Do y'all get this? Depression is a real thing, but we've allowed it to dominate instead of spiritually dealing with it. Remember, he says, you perfect peace whose mind stays on me. Isn't that what it says? And then he says, let not your heart be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. See, these are things that he's saying you have full access in, just do it. When I allow the depression to be my master, I'll go, but I can't. But when I beat my body to make it a slave, I'll go, okay, I will. You see the difference? I'm going to do it despite how I feel. This is a process. You have to go through this. And I live my life with a purpose. Now, in today's life, we have so many other what we may call noble purposes. They have taken over the main purpose, and that's living for God. Am I right? Right? Our jobs, our families, our health, our entertainment, just stuff usually trumps God. We'll put all that stuff first, and we'll put God in when we can. God, I'll fit you in when I can. While everything should be through God. In fact, if anything keeps me from doing it, that has to go. That's why Paul says, you know, whatever was to my profit, I now consider a loss, you know, for the sake of Christ. Right? So we have to understand it, because until I make him the purpose, depression will win. Look at another one. Unfavorable economy and uncertainty of employment. We go through this. It's going to happen. It's cyclical. People are going to go through it just with their workplace. People are going to go through it with the economy. You're going to see these things come in. How do I deal with this flesh and blood? First, being led by worrying. You may not say that, but unfortunately, you see it. The minute a person thinks their job is going to go away, or that they're going to lose money, or they're not going to have enough money for retirement, you'll watch them and watch their reactions. It's usually based on, they'll call it concern, but there's a difference between concern and worrying. Okay, they'll react based on what am I going to do? It's almost a action and panic. And once again, when I'm not spiritual, it's very normal. It's a very normal action. But we're supposed to be spiritual. It goes on to saying, the situation dictates my actions. I rush to find another source of living. I let the economy be my comfort or discomfort. That's a problem. Major. And you look at some of those, some people are going, well, Pastor, I don't see anything wrong with me. You know, I'm being proactive, right? No, you're reacting based on it, but you're not dealing with it spiritually. There's a difference. Okay. He wants you to be proactive, but he wants you to be spiritually proactive. Look what he says here in dealing with this. First of all, I don't worry and trust God. Worrying is an action. Please let me let you understand that. The feeling of worry, you're still not worrying. Okay. Just like the feeling of hate, you're still not hating. The feeling of love, you're still not loving. All of these are going to be justified by what you do. If I'm truly worrying, you'll see me react. Okay, so the feeling of worry is a desire. But how I act is the sin, if I do it, or the action, okay? So he's saying, I don't worry and trust in God. So I may feel it, but you'll see my actions be based on what God tells me. The way you'll know it is, the way I live for God won't change. If the economy's good, if the economy's bad, if I have employment, or if I'm not employed. Do y'all see where I'm going with this? My relationship with God will be based on God. Why? Because he's my provider. It goes on to say, by seeking his righteousness and his kingdom. Remember that verse says, do not worry. Basically, he's going to provide all your needs. Just seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Now, here's the problem. We hear that, and we even did a lesson on that, but I bet you still a lot of people have no idea what that means. Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. And if I ask you, hey, are you doing that? You go, I really don't know. I'm sorry, I don't know. Or I think so. Now, he's saying this as a, here's your answer. But are you really doing it? Even after we preached on it, if you didn't understand it, she's going, Pastor, I need to get this because he told me this is my access to getting what I need. Right? This is how he provides for me. He didn't just say, don't worry, God will provide. He says, don't worry, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. So the economy can crash. You're good. Economy can blow up. You're good. You can have great employment. You'll still be good. Or you can be laid off. Great shape. All of it because you're following the provider. Remember, he is the only source. Everything else is a resource. Y'all got that? Okay. It goes on to say, I ask God for wisdom concerning finances and work. And I do that all the time, not just when the economy goes down. You should do it in your investments. You should do it in just how you spend your money. You should do it in everything you do. Your budgets will be based on God, not based on fear and not based on I don't care. You understand that? Okay. You won't lean on your money. You won't let your money be your comfort. And whatever happens, I live totally depending on God. Remember, 1 Corinthians 7 says, you may end up in a bad, I don't like calling it bad, let's call it undesirable situation. And that works sometimes. God will put you in it for you to live for God. You read that selection in 1 Corinthians 7, 17 through 24. I'm still responsible to God. He says, as responsible to God, I still do what God says, despite my situation. See, what I don't want to do is be one of those that say, don't worry, God took you out of one job. He has another place better. Stop doing that. Because your definition of better, I've seen many people who've heard that, moved on and went, this job's not better. Did I miss something? We're like, well, God didn't say that. He's not basing it on your situation. You're basing it on your situation. We are supposed to thrive despite the situation. Does that make sense? The situation doesn't define me. It's not he got me somewhere better. It's where will you have me go next? Amen. Remember Joseph? Remember, he was first in charge. That was great. What was his next job after that? He went to jail. Was that better? Did y'all get this? He wanted out of there. No, it's just what God had in store for him next. And you'll go into it going, okay, what do you want me to do here, God? Not this. I can't believe you put me here and we struggle in it. So it will not dictate us. Amen. Look at another one. Here's a common one, believe it or not. Bored with life and not satisfied with where I am in life. My relationships are routine and I want more out of life. We talked about this last week where people create bucket lists and things of that sort, or people will do things like, I was reading an article on people doing things like jumping out of planes or climbing Mount Everest to get to the top to say you climb Mount Everest. I don't know why. But there's a reason. There's a human reason, once again, through the flesh, to do something to go, I have conquered, to make me feel good about me. Now, if you want to do that, it's up to you. But it's not necessary. But we do it because we're trying to give in to what the Bible already said you can't do. Man can never satisfy himself. That's why if someday I've done it, guess what they do 2 or 3 years later? They do it again. You understand it? So obviously the first time didn't work, okay? Because I got to do it again. I have to fulfill something in me. I just feel like I'm not, and I need to be further, and I should be. And you'll have people that will be in a job doing very well, getting paid well, but somebody told them you should be higher. So now they're thriving to get a higher position. Then they get up there and they're unhappy, and things are, why am I here? And they can't do their job. Why did you leave? What was? Because I needed something. Who told you that? Now, if you want to do that, that's fine. But we let these things be our driving force. Amen? We let these things grab us in the wrong way. Look how we deal with it. I strive to make desirable changes. Underline desirable. I search and live for new, exciting adventures. Underline exciting. I spice up certain parts of my life to make to my satisfaction. Okay, all sounds great in a worldly sense. The problem is, what you do today will be great, then tomorrow I'm bored again. You can put gravy on it today, tomorrow you'll want something else. Do you understand? That's just human nature. We just get tired of things. There were certain things I used to eat when I used to eat cereal. My wife would buy a huge amount of it. And the way she knew I was done, she'd come in, look in the cabinet. Oh, no. Got to give it away now because it just stopped. And she'd look at me, I go, I just don't want it anymore. And it was cyclical, and it would just keep moving in different ways. But it was one of those, because you can't satisfy you. What you think you like today, you won't care for tomorrow. We were watching a movie that came in, that was put on in the 80s, that at that time was one of the greatest movies you've seen. You'll sit there and you'll watch it. Wow. We watched it again, and we were like, how do we like this? Vain to me, as you kept waking up, wait, oh, is it done yet? You know what I mean? Because it was a lot slower, and there's a lot of change. Now, we're the same people. Why isn't that movie a hit now? Do y'all get this? Because that's humans. We're fickle. Okay? But that's flesh and blood. That's how I would deal with it. And this is what people, including Christians, are dealing with. They'll go broke to do things to add, you know, great things in their lives. I'm going on this huge trip around the world twice. I don't have the money, but don't worry, God will make a way. Seriously? Right? All right? So we got to be very... Now, how do I deal with this spiritually? First of all, I, through Christ, make sure I'm content with life. As nobody says, I can do all... he says, whether I have plenty or whether I need more, he's saying I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay? Contentment is huge. The verse says, contentment with godliness is great gain. Isn't that what it says? So we should be thriving to be content. Please let me make the definition clear of contentment. Contentment is not based on a situation. Contentment is in any situation. That's the difference. Worldly contentment is put me somewhere that I'll be happy, that everything will fit what I want, then I'll be content. That's not what he's talking about. True godly contentment is you can put me anywhere, I'll be fine. Do y'all get that? I'll be fine. Even when I don't like it, I'm good. Even when I love it, I'm still good. Does that make sense? It will never distort or change me. Though there is nothing wrong with seeking new adventures, I make sure godliness is my main goal. Amen? So in contentment, it will allow me to be wise in my decisions I make, and I look at things in a wise way, and I'll enjoy life. And if I can, I can. If I can't, I can't. Does that make sense? I would like to go do this, but if I can't, I can't. And that's it. Like, I'll be okay with that. Does that make sense? It says, I make sure God is the basis for all my relationships and situations. Now, and I put that too, because sometimes in marriages, you'll hear a lot of counselors tell you, this is what you need to do to spice up your marriage. Now, spicing up is nice, and you can do all that, but that's not going to change it. The biggest thing in godly marriages is your role in marriage. Is God in your marriage? That's by far the most important spice, if you will. It's a long-lasting, never-going-away one. Does that make sense? All right? So you don't want to add extra things all the time. Now, like I said, adding them, fine, but they can never be the fix to these things. Now, I'm going to do a change on this one. The other ones are things that we look at as problems. But watch this one. This one is one that we may accept as something we would like. Now watch this. It's once in a lifetime desirable opportunity. Now, I think some of us are like, amen. I could go for that. I would love to have that. So how do I deal with that? First of all, flesh and blood would deal with it this way. Now watch this. I go all in for this opportunity. I get the most out of it, and everything else must take a back seat. I focus on benefiting from this opportunity, and everyone must understand that. I've heard people get things, you know, like, I'm living my dream. And then everybody around them will go, well, you got to understand, he's living his dream. Right? There was a friend I know who actually got into the music business, and they were doing very well in it. And that's what the wife was saying. She said, well, we never see him because he's living his dream. I kind of had to hold my, you know, tighten my lip on it, because I'm like, well, that shouldn't be an excuse. Y'all got married. This is not, his dream shouldn't come before your marriage, right? But in his, no, this is a chance of lifetime. I'm traveling. I'm doing all this. It shouldn't work that way. And this is where we mess up. These are what now for those who things may seem to be working out. We take advantage of it. We run with it. Never check with God. Does that make sense? Never check with God. Here's a spiritual way of dealing with that, because in fact, that by far, and you can write down James 5, and you can write down 1 Timothy 6. And the reason why I put both of those in there, you're going to read about richness, and this is what happens. Sometimes when people have plenty, or when they have, and it's not just in money, but you may have a much in an opportunity, you'll run with it, and it will destroy you, because it will take you away from God. If you ever read the story of Lazarus and the rich man, his biggest problem was he said, you lived in luxury your entire life. Somebody's like, was that bad? No, no, no. The problem is that was his title of his living. That's what defined his living. Does that make sense? He had it, so he lived that way. You know, no shame. I'm going to do what I want. Not realizing God gives instructions for when we have plenty. It could be time. It could be talent. It could be money. All that. There is instruction with it. Spiritually, I carefully go into this opportunity through God making sure it glorifies God. That's why I told you, I gave you those scriptures to look at, because you'll say, if I have a lot of, I now have to know how to redirect it to glorify him. It says, whether you eat or you drink, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Isn't that what it says? It didn't say do it to your heart content. It doesn't say do it to where you can't stand it and you love it so much. No, it's to glorify God. I make sure I watch my partnerships. Why is that so important? Because a lot of these opportunities will include you partnering with wrong people. He says, do not be yoked together or unequally yoked. Isn't that what it says? The Bible says, do not be unequally yoked. But you'll still have, if I had a business venture and I found a non-Christian who may have the same mindset, 9 times out of 10, we'll get together. And it happens all the time. We're like, well, it works, and the business is growing, and this is this. Even though God made very clear, you're not to partner, right? And it also lets me know that bad company corrupts. If you ever read that verse again, what it didn't say was may or could. It's letting you know it will. It says bad company corrupts good character. Do you understand it? It's going to happen. So I have to make sure I watch that. All my investments and love must be for God. All. Okay? Now, everything that works in that will be filtered through that. All right? But all, remember it says the greatest command is love the Lord your God with all. Isn't that what it says? So then how can I say, well, God, I gave you this love over here, but I have to have love for this group over here. And that's where we fail, because we actually give love to a part that he says. That's why I have at the end, no matter what this opportunity offers, it never trumps my relationship with Christ. Never, ever. Amen? I mean, he tells us, do not love the world. Anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It also tells me friendship with the world, you become an enemy towards God. It's hatred towards God. And a lot of these opportunities are going to be me embracing and partnering the world. Be very careful. Okay? It'll make you look into things a lot deeper. Here's the last one. Dealing with things I do not understand. And I think all of us encounter this. And we've become such an intellectual group, or you can say generation, that we feel as though until I understand it, I'm not doing anything. Okay. Problem is, even if you did understand, you wouldn't know what to do. That's what God's letting you know. Do you understand that? You'd still be out of your league. And it's something that you would not be. If he said, if I show you exactly what to do and how, now understanding, you would panic. It's way beyond you. But this is how we deal with it on things we don't understand. I will do all I can to make sense of it. Right? We usually try to make, and that's why people have different ideas about different situations. You'll take a topic and you'll hear different people's viewpoints on it, and they're strong on it. This is how I feel about it. This is how I feel about it. Me and a guy at work got into a deep conversation on a very sensitive topic, and I was seeing his viewpoint and I was seeing mine, and it was interesting. It was good we were able to stop it and everything like that, but it was like no matter what, he wasn't budging, and no matter what, if I stayed in my own visual, I wasn't budging. Spiritually, I was able to look at it and go, Keith, those are two human viewpoints on something you really don't understand. Does that make sense? Instead of both going, we really don't get it. This is how I see it. Right? You know what I mean? But I really don't get it. He says, I will allow it to frustrate me if I don't. In other words, if I don't understand it, you're going to see it in my actions that I get angry, I get frustrated, I get depressed, all these other things. I only respond when things make sense to me or I don't respond at all. We go into a shell. That's the fleshly way of dealing with it, and that's common. This is what you see. Here's what God says. My life is totally based on faith in God despite what I see. The problem is, the reason why he says walk by faith, which I think we all know, and we miss the other part of it, not by sight. Because sometimes when you see things, your understanding gets in the way, or lack thereof. Do y'all get this? You'll look at it and go, we can't do this. Or you'll look at it and go, no, God, you're going the wrong way. You'll look at it and go, I don't want to do this. Do y'all get this? Because of what you see. By faith, tell me where you want me to go, God. Amen? I'm going. No, I may not like it. No, it may look like it's not going to work. But I'm trusting in you. Instead of living life trying to understand, I live trusting God while not trusting my understanding. Not trusting my understanding. In other words, it says in Proverbs 3, for us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. It's just like that, walk by faith, not by sight. He not only gives us what I'm supposed to do, he makes very clear what I'm not supposed to do. It blows my mind how many Christians today still live based on their understanding. And then they try to put it together with God. And then we struggle. You get this look on your face like, something's not making sense. Sense had no play in this at all. Why did you even add sense? Amen? Right? It was supposed to be faith. He gave you the instruction, do this. And then you go, oh, he wants me to do this. And here you go, now adding sense. And it doesn't work that way. And you're like, I'm struggling with this. Why? Because he didn't ask you to add sense. Just trust him and do what he tells you. I keep living by loving God, knowing he's working things for my God. That doesn't make sense. I keep living by loving God, knowing he's working things for my good. That should be good, y'all. All right, because y'all know Romans 8, 28 through 29 says, and we know that he works all things for the good of those who love him. Does that make sense? So I know whatever I'm going through, he's working it for my good. Doesn't make sense what I'm going through. That's why he says, count it pure joy when you go through trials. He's not going to explain it to you. He said, no, count it, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. While we're sitting there going, why are you doing this to me, God? You won't understand it. You can't understand. Please understand that everything needs to be dealt with spiritually. This is why it's so necessary for each and every one of us to spiritually mature. The sermon we're going to go over today is spiritual preparedness. And it's showing us how we're supposed to get ourselves proactively, spiritually ready for everything we deal with in life. So let's stop leaning upon things based on what the flesh says and start walking spiritually. Amen? All right. As the word says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. We want to make sure we're taking the time out to talk to our Father, that we're doing it on a regular basis. This should be not only a daily thing.